Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm your Valentina, hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz. And welcome to In Yo Mouth!
In Yo Mouth.
I'm the queen of food who's always in the mood. To lick it right, lick it good, show you how to
look. Oh, God, that's good.
I want to know what you eat from the streets to the sheets. So open wide, honey.
I'm coming.
In Yo Mouth.
I got the goosebumps.
Hey there and welcome back, folks. Once again, I'm your hostess with the mostest, Munoz. And guys, March has come and gone. Easter is right around the corner. And I mean, we are just flying through. I mean, we're flying through this year, folks. I can't even believe it. Can you? Your girl Munoz is now fully vaxxed, y'all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Allah. Thank you, Ganesh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, universe. Thank you to the nurses. Thank you. Oh, thank you, everybody. You know, I'm still not out in these streets acting a fool, but I am blessed and a little de-stressed, you know, about the whole situation. And like, it feels good. Yeah. Oh my God, what a year it's been. My mom's fully vaccinated. I'm fully vaccinated. I hope you all are out there being smart and doing your thing that way. Other than that, if you haven't noticed, there's new merch, new summer merch on the website, themunoz.com/mouth merch. Get into it, y'all. There's a cute ass a beach towel, because once y'all vaccinated, you can go to the beach and then sit your ass on my face right where I love it. Anywho, let's get to the getting on, because I am really, really, really excited for today's guest. Folks, y'all are not ready, because you know I love this, like, guest encompasses three things I love. A, drag queens. B, hot sauces. And C, drag queens. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome the one, the only, Andre Springer, also known as Shaquanda Coco Mulata. Say hi.
Oh, hey, girl. Hey.
How are you?
I'm hanging in. I'm here in LA visiting some friends and like kind of needed to get out of New York for a bit. So just trying to get as much vitamin D as much as possible.
Yeah, it's been a minute since I had the vitamin D, Gert. But it's all good. Oh, well, you're looking refreshed. The skin is glowing. Yes, honey. Well, for those of you that don't know out there, and you probably do already, Andre Springer is not only the mastermind behind Shaquanda's Hot Pepper Sauce, but also has been performing in the streets and bars of New York City since the age of 20. Much of that time being spent creating his drag alter ego, Shaquanda Coco Mulata. Say that three times fast. I love it. It feels good on the tongue. The body of Springer's work has been in performance, sculpture, and film, but while manifesting his creative side, He also spent 18 years in the restaurant industry as waiter, bartender, manager, and maitre d'. Shaquanda's hot pepper sauce can be found in specialty shops across the United States, and most recently in Whole Foods, yes, queen, at all the Northeast region locations. The brand was featured in popular food publications like Bon Appetit, Edible, Serious Eats, Delish, BuzzFeed, New York Times Gift Guide, and was a favorite in season 9 and 13 of the popular hit YouTube series Hot Ones, and is not yet a sponsor of In Your Mouth, the podcast. There is a lot to unpack, Andre, and I can't thank you enough for being on. But before we get anywhere, in the grand tradition of In Your Mouth, I need to wish you happy National Oysters on a Half Shell Day.
Woohoo!
Are you an oyster queen?
I actually love oysters. I love like all the fixings on it too.
Okay, this is where it gets controversial sometimes. Mm. Now, I know you are a hot sauce queen, but are you a hot sauce queen or are you a mignonette queen when it comes to your oysters?
I like to mix them up, so I like to put a little bit of everything on it.
Yep, that's, you know what, that's the way I like it too, because I am a greedy ass bitch. So give it all to me. Just give me more. I actually had the first oysters of the season last week. Delish.com.
Did you wash it down with anything bubbly or?
Oh yeah, champagne always. Always, yeah. Right? Because in the words of NeNe Leakes, I am a rich bitch. Not really. You're very lucky because today is a double day. And don't ask me why, because I didn't come up with these things. But today is also, and no pun intended, happy National Clam Day.
Oh.
Yes. Now, are you a clam guy too?
I am actually, I would rather have fried clams. Like I've eaten raw clams, but they're fine, but I prefer a fried clam.
I am with you on the fried adventure, maybe even a baked clam. There's a place in this city. Have you ever been on Houston Street in Soho called Arturo's? It's like this old, really old pizza joint. Like New York City pizza joint.
Yes.
And they do clams, Arturo, where they like dig out the clam and then put like baby shrimp and mini scallops in there and then mix it with like breadcrumbs, cheese, and butter and stuff it all back in the clam shell.
Oh, that sounds really good. But you know what? I can't eat it because I'm allergic to shrimp.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You're allergic to shrimp, but you're not allergic to clams or oysters? How does that work?
So there's like shellfish allergies, and there's also, which includes all the shellfish, including shrimp. And you can just have a shrimp allergy, which is specific to shrimp.
Oh, womp womp. Oh my God. Well, there's more shrimp content coming at you at on today's podcast. I hate to tell you, but you know what? Get your EpiPen ready. And no matter what you celebrate, we want to wish you out there a happy National Oysters on a Half Shell Day and happy National Clam Day. And moving right along into this day in gay history, you got a good one today, especially for the drag queen of it all. This one's for Shaquanda herself. Did you know, Miss Thing, that in 1979, in the Navy begins a 13-week run in the nation's top 40? The U.S. Navy briefly considers using the song as a recruitment theme until the full implications of the lyrics are explained.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Right? I wish I was there in that meeting. Like, you know, having to sit down like the master general or the colonel or whatever they're called, you know, the chief, the head chief, and just be like, excuse me, sir, your honor, we cannot use this song because it's about getting naked. And I don't even know. I don't know the full words of In the Navy. I just know that if it comes on at the club, when we're allowed back in the club, my ass is going to be getting down.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Village People in your rotation of songs you lip sync to? Are you a lip sync queen?
Actually, I'm not a lip syncing queen. I've done some lip syncing in my life, but
okay.
I'm more of like hosting or kind of like more weird performance.
Okay, okay. So yeah, let's just put you in a box right off because that's like the thing to do, right? Oh my God. So from drag to hot sauce, it was a journey and a half. And I mean, we are both Brooklyn natives here. Did you always have a love for food? Where did, like, I want to start at the beginning where I always start, a la Julie Andrews. But like, I need to know what this trajectory is from like artist to now hot sauce queen. So let's start at the beginning. Was there a passion for food that like, you know, is inherent?
Yeah, of course. Like I've always loved eating and spending time with my grandmother in the kitchen. So food has always been a form of like love and nurturing. And as I went through school and college, I took up jobs in the restaurant industry. And so like it's always been, or I've always been around food.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so you're of Barbadian descent, mm-hmm. Correct, right? And I love that. I've never, until I read your bio, I was like, Barbadian. I was like, oh, I love that. I want to be Barbadian just so I can say the word, you know?
Like
yes, I'm here for it. I'm here for all of it. But grandma, she from Barbados, like Barbados, or did she grow up here?
She grew up in Barbados. She moved to the States with my mom and my mom's younger siblings in the 60s or 70s.
Like, yeah, we are. And so I ask because we often talk, especially these days, about like our parents, our grandparents' influences, at least those, even those who can't cook, but especially those who could cook, and their influence on us through food. What was that food like that like you were growing up with?
It was, you know, like I always try to explain like Caribbean food is, you know, from all the islands are seasoned. So that season comes from like herbs and dried spices. Also like the preparation for marinating things. And so Bajan food is not typically as spicy as the other Caribbean islands. There are some dishes that are. We share a lot of similarities with some of the smaller islands. Mm-hmm. And a lot of like herbs and a lot of like citrus. So, and a lot of seafood. Our food isn't, there's like, it's a hybrid of African, English, and Indian. So you'll find like, random things from like, you know, shepherd's pie to like a sort of like the national dish is called, there's two national dishes. And so you eat them on the weekend and one is called pudding and souse. So it's like a blood sausage, but it's stuffed with root vegetables and it's served with a kind of pork head and hooves that's been chilled in cucumbers, lemon juice, parsley, and hot peppers. And so it becomes like this kind of like terrine. And that's one of my favorite things to eat. And then the other one is cuckoo and flying fish. But since there's no flying fish here in the States, like it's usually cuckoo and like codfish. So it's very similar to like a fish and grits kind of scenario.
Oh. Oh, you just took me on a journey here with this terrine. I want to go back to it for a second because it's just... Wait, yeah. Give me the ingredients one more time.
It's traditionally pigs. It's the head of the pig.
It's the head of the pig. Here for it. The pig's feet. Yeah.
Put all the bits in there, and you boil it until it's cooked, and then you remove it, and you add citrus, salt, and a Scotch bonnet. You chop up the Scotch bonnet, and then you chill it, and then you add parsley and cucumbers and more lemon juice or lime juice. And that's it.
Yeah.
And you do the shallot too. So like shallot, yeah. Shallot, it's very simple ingredients, but it like provides you like a nice, delicious, like the kind of the texture, the fat, the acid.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, give that to me with some crusty bread. I want it all. I'm starving. A few weekends ago, a Jamaican friend of mine made me oxtail.
Oh, Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Oh, I just like touch my titties. It's uh-huh. so good.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
We make good oxtail. That's for
yeah,
sure.
I mean, the people of the islands all over oxtail. Blood sausage, I am not a fan of. Me and my Puerto Rican self cannot do it. I have tried and tried again. I have been sat upon a hill and watched them, like, you know, kill the pig, collect all of it from start to... I have watched the process start to finish, and I cannot... I still can't do it, you know?
That's good. So, you know, like, in like I guess in the 50s or something, most recipes switched over to I'll leave that in quotes, vegetarian version of it. So it's like sweet potatoes, and you mash it up and you stuff it with thyme, marjoram, salt, and butter, and you steam it in the casing. So like the you know, whatever that intestine is to make the sausage. Mm-hmm. And so there's no more blood in it, but it used to be blood. It used to be blood.
You better be educating me right now. Are you sure? Where's my assistant when I need her? Where's the production team?
We don't use the blood anymore. We just use the root vegetables instead.
And that's interesting. That's the first I've ever heard that. Now I'm curious if like everyone's doing that or like,
For the most part in Barbados, like there are still some people that make it the old school way, but everyone that I know and every like pudding that I've ever had has always been like sweet potatoes or like it's always been like root vegetables.
Interesting. That you are the first, and now my mind is blown about it. No joke. I remember being a little boy. You know, we went to visit my family in Puerto Rico, and I would feed this pig every day because my grandparents owned a farm. There was, you know, there was cows and pigs and the whole thing. Yes, we get it, a farm. And yeah, I would feed it mangoes and things. And then one day it was like, it was the lesson, you know, it's like the circle of life. Like, and we need this. We raise this pig to then eat it. Like it provides sustenance for the family and none of it went to waste. And so they sat me on a hill and the men did the slaughtering of the pig, and the women with the bowls caught the blood and caught the intestines, and not one part of it went to waste, you know? And so it was this whole like circle of life lesson I'll never forget. That and, you know, never approach nesting chickens because they'll scratch your eyes out.
Oh, they will. Ooh.
You know, because that surely happened. I love that. I love all of that. And so now I want to kind of move on to Shaquanda herself, right? Mm-hmm. And how did she come about? Like, where did she come from? How did she emerge from the waters into the beautiful being that she is?
Well, I used to work at this bar on the Bowery called The Slide.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. You worked at The Slide?
Yeah.
Ooh, in your mouth, listeners. The Slide was an iconic moment. to say the least. Go ahead, continue. Oh my God, you literally just took me back to some situations, honey.
So working there was, as you know, a lot of fun and also a lot of craziness. And I was working one night that Linda Simpson was hosting Gay Jeopardy.
Yes.
So Linda Simpson, who is an iconic, legendary nightlife performer, who like me is not a lip-syncing drag queen.
Shout out to Linda Simpson, yes, who just came out with a book of all her old photos from New York City's like drag scene and underground like queer scene too. Shout out to you, Linda Simpson. Yes, go ahead.
So Linda was so enamored by the Gay Jeopardy and the amount of fun that everyone was having, and I asked her if I could be a guest on her show, and she said, "Well, like, do you have a character?" And I was like, what? And I was like, oh, I can make one up. And so I toyed around like with the idea for a week of like who's like my alter or my drag extension. And that's how it happened. That was the first time that I did drag.
Incredible. And with like, so do you call Linda Simpson your drag mom?
Oh yeah, for sure.
I live iconic moments and iconic drag queens today in your mouth, listeners. If you don't know who Linda Simpson is, she has all the content on Instagram as well. Go support her. Yes, I did. I mean, Andre, we used to, my friend Michael and I were broke as fuck. And we used to go to our friends' apartments and like empty their change, you know, like their change bowls, be like, you don't need this change. You don't need this change. And we go to the bodegas on the corner and be like, you need dimes? You need nickels? And we would get bills just for admission into the slide. And then, since we only had money to get in, we would either pick up an empty bottle or like take someone else's drink on the slide. yes, not like, not the best situation, but we did what we had to do. Mm-hmm. And then we would like meet people, and then like the madness would ensue of the evening. There were so many like memorable moments from the slide. Oh. And yeah. And I don't know if you know, the slide was a prostitution house. Like,
I did not know that.
Back in the day. Yes. I don't know if it was in that location where you were working, but yeah.
Oh, that is dark.
Yeah, isn't it? Crazy. Crazy New York City moments and crazy New York City happenings. What? So how did your family, because we always talk about a little bit about coming out here on the pod, how did your family first receive you coming out and then having to, because I know a lot of drag queens have to have like a second coming out. Was that your experience, and what was that like too?
Well, you know, my family in general is pretty supportive. It's a little harder with my mom because she's religious. And when I came out, she didn't believe it. Like, but I never felt necessarily disrespected or anything. And my stepfather was like, he didn't care as much. He's like, whatever. My bio father doesn't care either. And doing drag was just like, I had dressed up for some photos in art college. And they were like in my house, and my mom kind of smirked at it because I guess my makeup looked really good. So, but it wasn't, there was like no kind of like full interest or like in terms of like digging in deeper or asking me any question. It was just like more like, oh yeah, that's what he's doing now.
Yeah. And that's great. Listen, I preach and preach and preach again, 160 some odd episodes later, that everybody's story is important and we don't know who's listening out there. And so, you know, we never know, I should say, who we can inspire, by your story, by my story, by whomever's story. And our stories are unique and important. So thank you for sharing. For sure. And I really want to get to the hot sauce of it all. But before we get there, I think now would be a great time to introduce you to my favorite part and the audience's favorite part of the podcast, something we like to call Food News Update. Food news.
Ooh, honey,
you ain't ready, girl. Spill the tea.
News Update.
Nestle's cookie AI looks creepy as hell, but could help improve your baking.
Is it hung?
Is it hung? Well, first of all, it's a woman.
Oh, well, maybe she's hung too.
Maybe she is. I mean, I found this the craziest thing. So apparently, Nestle created a woman by the name of Ruth. And Ruth is a new digital human meant to help us bake perfect cookies. Thank you, munchies.vice.com, for this. She was created in response to recipe troubleshooting questions that came into Nestle's customer service line. As Nestle's head of digital strategy and innovation, Orchid Bertelsen, announced on Twitter. Like most of the work by Soul Machines, which describes itself as the world leader in humanizing AI to create astonishing digital people, Ruth is right on the razor's edge between creepy as hell and impressively realistic, and she has conversational chops, too. She is named for Ruth Wakefield, inventor of the classic Toll House cookie. Apparently, Andre, she can answer all of your questions as you bake. And if you take too long to respond, she'll, like, Dora the Explorer, like, blink her eyes and look around being like, oh, what the fuck?
That's kind of cool.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I'd be down to try that, like, you know, because I'm not the best baker. And I think a lot of people aren't, like, you know, such a science. And so to have someone there to just answer your questions and help you along the way is, I think, amazing.
Yeah. So the digital Ruth can answer cookie questions via chat or microphone. She seems to have a pretty good ear. Customize cookies based on dietary preferences or needs and guide you through a basic chocolate chip cookie recipe. Ruth seems honestly pretty helpful, especially for people who haven't baked much or for those who can't pin down why their cookies go all wonky and don't know who else to ask. The writer of this article also says, given that we're all starved for human interaction these days, why not let the cookie robot provide some virtual companionship? A bonus, if you haven't baked with relatives in a while, Ruth can provide all those subtle faces and sounds of impatience and slight judgment, almost as lovingly.
Hmm.
So it sounds like she's a shady biatch.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Here for it. Toot on the. I think that's all that needs to be said. Cinnamon Toast Covered Shrimp Tails found in Cinnamon Toast Crunch Box.
No, 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 no. That is not okay. Where are they making that?
This has been big news for the past, like, week and a half. I'm surprised you haven't heard about this.
Mm-hmm.
So the man who found them is actually a famous comedian by the name of Jensen Karp. Now, get this. The tea is real on this entire story, honey. Right? And I'm going to paraphrase because I have a bunch of articles pulled up here from CNET, the New York Post, the New York Times. And he posted when he found shrimp tails on Twitter in his favorite cereal of all time. He even claims to have Cinnamon Toast Crunch like sneakers. He's that devout to the brand. And So he tweeted, at CTC Squares, why are there shrimp tails in my cereal? This is not a bit, because he's a comedian, right? And then he shows the shrimp tails in this photo. Cinnamon Toast Crunch claps back, being like, "That those aren't shrimp tails. Those are like just collections of cinnamon toast, you know, like the stuff." He was like, "I will not be gaslit." And he takes other photos and is like, "These are 100% shrimp tails in the cereal."
What?
Now it gets juicier, because you know who he's married to?
Who's he married to?
Boy Meets World star Topanga.
Topanga? Oh, I love Topanga.
We all love Topanga. She had the best hair.
Yes.
She literally had locks and locks for days. I used to be obsessed. So now the story gets juicier. Fine. Topanga, look, the ambulance is coming because I'm already sick from this. Topanga, right, whose name I don't know off the top of my head right now, she goes to inspect it further. And upon further inspections, there are squares with little things in them that allegedly look like rat poop.
Ew.
And it was like in one of those like big like box store double box, like, you know, 2-for-1 packs. And then in the other box that had been unopened, it looked like there was tape on it. And then it also seemed that there allegedly was floss in there.
Ooh.
Yes. Gross, right? Could you imagine just opening up your favorite cereal and and finding...
Oh, it sounds like someone sabotaged that company.
I mean, this is a nightmare, but it keeps getting better. So, of course, Twitter has a heyday with it. Normalized shrimp in breakfast cereal. Oh, my God. Like, he's having a moment. No real update. And I'm not posting about this bullshit all day again. Waiting for the envelope I agreed on from General Mills to send them back pieces and some of the shrimp tail. Will leave home for DNA testing at noon. It's so crazy. The person that works at General Mills needs to... and keeps bringing shrimp for lunch, needs to stop. They need to stop eating shrimp over the conveyor belt while making my favorite cereal. Insane. So great. It's all under investigation. Nobody knows if it's real or not. General Mills is saying that it had to happen post-production. There's all these theories out there about how this all happened, right? With the rat poop that allegedly is in there, with the shrimp tails and the floss. Great. Now it gets even juicier.
Oh, because... no. I'm going to get even more.
Because the internet has turned on Jensen, right? Oh, Danielle Fishel is Topanga's name, by the way. So apparently, there's a bunch of his old girlfriends that are coming out now that say that he's allegedly verbally abusive. And now it's, and now this story has turned even darker all within a week and a half.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah. Actress Melissa Stenton also took to Twitter to issue a PSA regarding Karp's treatment of her when they dated. What you may not know about the man behind the viral posts, like he's a manipulative, gaslighting, narcissistic ex-boyfriend who once told me he was surprised I hadn't killed myself because my life was so worthless.
Oh my God, that's
Stenton.
Awesome.
Could you imagine? Getting a lot of texts from girls still in therapy over his terror. At least we have this fun little club.
Wow. You know what? I couldn't even imagine. That sounds like so much trauma to deal with. Oh, no one deserves that.
How did we get from shrimp tails and rat poop to this? Like, and did he even see this coming?
No. Well, I guess like with the internet, like everything's around. So it's like, whatever you do or put yourself out there, be prepared to have all and anyone with a story on you to like just come out and be like, hey, this is what this person is like, or this is what they've done. This is my experience with them. So, I mean, I'm not surprised. The internet moves real fast.
I mean, I all I could do is laugh because it's so unbelievable. All of it. It's just like, what happened? What happened, General Mills, Jensen, Melissa, Topanga?
Topanga, yeah.
And poor
I'm scared to eat Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I know. And poor Topanga, just caught in the middle of it all.
I hope her hair is still looking fierce.
I do too.
Right?
Yeah. I do too. Right? And I hope that these women are also getting, you know, the therapy and help that they need as well out there, right? We support women on this podcast. And Jensen, you gotta fix all of this somehow. Boy, that's all I gotta say, because I don't think Andre and I are here for any of this. And last, but not least, just in time for Easter, if you celebrate, Pepsi and Peeps are introducing a marshmallow soda for a limited time.
Peeps are disgusting, but a marshmallow-flavored Pepsi I'm here for.
Okay. Now, Peeps are controversial, much like candy corn.
I knew you were going to say that. Because, yes, I'll bite off of a Peeps head, and that's it. Just for like, ritual sake, or, you know, it's like the thing we do every year with the same as candy corn.
Yeah.
Like we all just have to eat a piece of it or one of them. Just
Yeah, there is a whole generation of people out there that eat their Peeps stale. That's a thing too. Did you know about that? Like they'll open the package, let them dry out, and then enjoy them that way. Like that's completely a thing.
You know what? I think I want to try that just out of curiosity.
Yeah, they say it's better that way.
Huh.
I think it's too much sugar for me. Like I'll have one and be done, but I can't say I don't like them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But a marshmallow soda, I'm not a big soda guy. So according to Delish.com, fan of Shaquanda's hot pepper sauce, not a fan of In Your Mouth, the podcast, because they tried charging me for articles, Delish.com. I need to speak to the manager. Have you ever enjoyed Peeps marshmallows so much that you wish you could drink them? Same. And that's now possible thanks to a collaboration between the iconic brand and Pepsi. The pair just dropped a beverage that combines the refreshing taste of Pepsi with the sweet, cloud-like flavor of Peeps Marshmallow, available for a limited time and not a sponsor of this podcast. The marshmallow flavored drink comes in a 3-pack of mini 7.5-ounce Pepsi cans that boasts a Peeps-inspired design. The cans feature little chicks and come in yellow, pink, and blue. And according to Delish, they're super cute, and you won't want to toss them when your beverage is all gone. You won't be able to get them in stores, but to get your hands on the coveted spring-inspired drop, Pepsi and Peeps are hosting a sweepstakes. All you got to do for a chance to win is show how you are enjoying your favorite springtime activities in a safe, socially distanced way, with Peeps, marshmallow chicks, and bunnies.
Oh, so it looks like it's marketing. Ah, okay.
Yeah. Isn't everything?
Yeah. What a great way to get people to give content for free, pretty much.
Yeah, and you know what? Yeah, as opposed to paying the people who are out there creating all the content and the really good content, you know, out there. But that's another story for another time. Another controversy, Pepsi or Coke?
Oh, I'll drink both. I don't care.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't mind.
Oh, no.
Which one do you prefer?
A Mexican Coke. It can't even be Coke.
That's okay now. Okay. You didn't say that.
Well, I said Coke.
But, you know, I just generalized for like American Coke, but Mexican Coke before everything else, before Pepsi, regular Coke, for sure.
Yes. And Innymouth listeners, if you don't know the difference between Mexican Coke and American Coke, Mexican Coke uses, you know, real sugar. And, you know, there's less bullshit in there, and it's just tastier. That or movie theater cherry Coke. There's something about movie theater cherry Coke that is lit.
I like the slushy.
The Coke slushy?
Yeah.
I think Pepsi has like a 7-Eleven slushy, don't they?
They probably do. I just know theaters, I always get the slushy.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? However you're celebrating spring, if you're a Pepsi Peeps person, this one's for you, and I'm not mad about it. And I think that's the best way to end Food News Update. Are you gonna bring that to all your girls out there in LA now?
Yes.
Be like, girls, I totally got the tea. You know? I'm still gagged about the shrimp and Topanga just being caught in the middle of it.
I'm going to go search and look for those. I'm going to look for the photos.
Do it. All you have to do is type in Cinnamon Toast Crunch Shrimp. Do it.
Oh, okay.
You'll find all the articles, all the photos, everything. No joke. And I didn't do this on purpose, but I ended with Delish.com, who had provided me a lot of food news update. I'm funny, Shady, with them. But talk to me about the trajectory of Shaquanda's hot sauce. How do you go from performing to make hot sauce? And what's the hot sauce secret that it's so popular?
I think, you know, I have a very producer mind. Like, I like to make things. I like to create and solve problems. And so when part of my performance was with a sauce that I made with my business partner, Dominic, and people loved it so much that they were pushing me to do it. And I moved forward and I started doing it. It took a lot of time.
Wait. We just kind of glossed over the whole thing here. You were like, yeah, I was performing hot sauce. There it was. It doesn't work like that. You got the kids can't see you out there. I can see you. And I know I've seen the hot sauce, right? Myself, yes. Firsthand, even though there isn't a bottle in my apartment.
Uh-oh, well, I got to put a bottle in your apartment, baby.
But what did this performance entail that you were eating your own homemade hot sauce? Is that how it worked?
So part of it was like I had a shopping cart. And that was my performance. I was just walking around with a shopping cart and people asked when I would perform and I would pull out a cracker or a plantain chip and be like, and then I would pour hot sauce on it and then have them eat it and go over, you know, the taste of it. And they're just so excited and trying to buy it off of me. And I was like, this is my part of my outfit. I can't sell you this. Because, you know, I had them all, like I had about 30 or 40 of them wrapped up in like bodega bags.
All right.
And like, it was part of like, you know, my grandmother going to the store and had her, you know, shopping cart. And that was my homage to her. And so after about tasting it out to like about 10 people, my friends convinced me to start selling it for like pretty much, I was selling for like $3.99 or something. And I got so much positive feedback. And I'm like walking through the streets of Bushwick with my shopping cart and friends. And we were just shouting hot sauce for sale. And, you know, it just was one of those things where it just was a recipe for success. I mean, the marketing was there, just was, you know, authentically from a performance. It was, you know, Caribbean, about my kind of culinary experience and about who I am as a New Yorker and as a performer. And so after sitting down and like really kind of thinking about what the next stages were, was going through the sort of legal process, the insurance and finding a place to make it and bottling and like learning more. It's, you know, it's a lot harder than it looks, but, you know, like with determination and good friends and support and family, like I was able to push through and, you know, have a business.
Yeah, that's incredible. So what's the secret? What makes it the it hot sauce?
I think it's the combination of ingredients that really kind of tell a story. So it's not just burning your mouth out, and it's so versatile with putting on food, and you're getting like all these delicious flavors without any starches or fillers. So you're getting a bottle of produce, essentially. It's not like most hot sauces, like I guess the more mass produced hot sauces are typically just one or two ingredients, or, and then like water and xanthan gum or some sort of like starch filler to kind of thicken it up. So what you're getting is really one note or sugar or salt. And so what you're getting with mine is like all this flavor with very little sugar or salt.
Oh. I'm looking at my spice rack now and I'm counting the hot sauces. I have Elvira's hot sauce, but Shaquanda's nowhere to be found.
You have Elvira makes a hot sauce?
Yes, queen.
Oh, okay. I need to get one.
Yeah, she partnered. My brother sent it. My brother's on this kick, I guess, because I turned 40 this year, of sending me hot sauce. And so I got a 2-pack of Elvira hot sauce from, I forget what company she partnered with, and it's up there. I have yet to try it. There's Cholula. There's Frank's. There's Old Bay hot sauce. There's Valentina. You're gorgeous. You're beautiful. You look like Linda Evangelista. Yeah. There's... what else is up there? There's Tapatio. And there's a couple. There's two that I... Oh, there's Tango truffle hot sauce, which is my new favorite. She's a hot sauce queen.
Mm.
Definitely a hot sauce queen. And I love that Shaquanda came out on the pod as a verse queen. Wait a minute. I don't think I'm going to let you go without talking about
verse queen.
Huh?
Verse.
Yeah, Shaquanda said she's verse. She may look like a top daddy, but...
Oh, she's not top either.
I'm deceased. Shaquanda's just spreading lies out in these streets then. Oh my God, I'm dead. I'm absolutely dead. On the heat level, how hot is hot? Or do we come in like many, many hot varieties?
I would say like for most of my flavors, they run between a... You know, it's all subjective too, right? Like, it's like medium. So I would say it's approachable. It's going to burn a little bit, but it's not a lingering burn. And I have a green one that's pretty mild. And that's like an approachable sauce for those that want to try it, start eating spicier things. It's a great way to start.
And this hot sauce is based in your roots as well? Like, the, yes. do you give it a...
It's like, it's about like through the lens of Barbadian food. And, you know, the first ingredient is onion. And so like all the sauces, onion is going to be in the beginning of the ingredients. And it's about translating flavor and heat through onions.
Yeah.
And I would say the quirkiest one would be my umami hot sauce. And that's like taken from black garlic, which is originally a Korean thing. And so it has that funky kind of fermented taste that's very like a nice mouthfeel. So I use black garlic in that one with blackberries, blueberries, balsamic vinegar. It's really yummy.
Oh my God. I want it all. She's a theater queen. Oh my God. I need it. I'm just going to throw out the rest of the spices and just fill the rest with Shaquanda's hot sauce. So how did it become so famous then? How did it end up on Hot Ones? Where did the snowball begin?
So I started getting attention pretty early just because of my branding and being a queer, you know, black owned business. And, you know, a lot of foodies, I worked in restaurants. So I know all the foodies and everyone was super pumped about it. And I had some really great places take me on as their hot sauce or selling it at their specialty shop. And so what really kind of kicked it off in terms of more kind of scaling and more visibility would be from the show Hot Ones.
Amazing.
And so Hot Ones, Hedonist, which is a shop in Williamsburg and also in the Chelsea Market, they're responsible for all the sauces that go on the show. And I approached one of the owners about it. I was like, listen, I want to be on the show. And he said, are you ready for it? Because he's like, everyone loves your sauce. And so we just want to make sure that you're prepared for it. And of course I was prepared for it because I always think ahead and, but there's always going to be issues regardless of how prepared you are. But it kicked my butt in terms of getting everything produced. And then kind of just after that, just generated so much interest. And so that really was the kicker. And then the New York Times gift guide was such a great, another great exposure. And then being on season 13, so being on two seasons was pretty helpful. I would say that the support of the queer food community and the black community was super beneficial and just spreading the word and also really connecting with my audience.
Amazing. I love that. I love that. Now I've absorbed you into my big old queer food community as I gather the children, and I'm the Pied Piper over here. That's incredible. And I love this story. I don't want to go. Oh my God. I can't wait because every morning, my friends and I, we text each other about deals and steals. I needed to be on deals and steals for us. I could be right? Because they're always trying to do the most, especially when it comes to supporting small business, supporting everybody, right? I need a deals and steals moment. I love it. Tell the kids, first and foremost, before we close out, what's next for you?
Well, we're developing, we're planning on expanding our line into other grocery items, staying under the identity of queerness and spiced foods. So that's what we're working on right now.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, congratulations on all your success. And I can't thank you enough for coming on the pod, giving me a little bit of your relaxed time today. It's been really, really special connecting in this way.
Okay.
This is why I love what I do. Tell the kids where they can find you, where they can find the hot sauce, where they can see the OnlyFans. Give it all to them.
So you can find me at ShaquandaWillFeedYou.com. Also, my handle on Instagram is Shaquanda Will Feed You. If you can't spell it, just Google it. But you should learn how to spell it. ShaQuanda Will Feed You. And that's how you can find me.
Yes, I love that. Please go send all the love to Andre. And take a look at the beautiful Fache too on Shaquanda Will Feed You. It's been such a great day here. And once again, I can't thank you enough for being on the pod, Andre. Out there, April is right around the corner. The weather is getting nicer. I am out there in these streets starting to exercise again because your girl Munoz hates exercising in the cold and doesn't like going to a gym. Other than that, as I am part of the One Star Podcast Network, a collection of niche food podcasts that have come together as a village to support each other and push each other forward. Go support the other podcasts as well on the One Star Podcast Podcast Network. And as always, I can't thank you all enough out there for your support and listening to In Yo Mouth.